Need a witness list.
One, two, three, four, five.
So we're getting started up a little bit late. Just a little bit of organizational business. House Bill 2421 relating to the legal immunities of public bodies has been taken off today's calendar, and we are moving it.
This is the bomb bill.
We're moving it up. We have a date.
How about the 20th?
20th?
Mm-hmm. March 20th?
2421 will be heard on March 20th. We'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2429. Is it Koykendall? I remember I had to ask you the same question last time.
But you did very well this time.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Wade Koykendall. I'm Vice President of the Surplus Lines Association of Oregon. On February 13th, I appeared before you to urge you to table this bill. We felt that its passage would have very adverse effects on the availability of certain types of insurance policies. In all candor, we prefer that ORS 743.115 did not exist. However, we have been and will be able to abide with the statute. It has been proposed that House Bill 2429 be amended in such a manner to allow ORS 743.115 to remain as is, with the exception that the word commercial, as found in paragraphs 1 and 2 of that section, be deleted. The effect of this change, as we understand it, is to permit the issuance of an insurance policy, either personal lines or commercial lines, subject to the approval of the director, which would contain defense costs within the limits of liability. We agree and can accept this change. One of the other situations that was asked last time I was here is if we knew of any other jurisdictions that had a similar law or requirement. And in our quest for obtaining an answer in that, we were unable to find any other jurisdiction that has a restriction of either as a proposed bill or as the current ORS 743.115. We were unable to determine whether New York may have that one way or the other, but with the possible exception in New York, we know of no other jurisdiction that has any of this restriction such as being discussed.
Mr. Koykendall, I don't see either Jack Monroe or John Powell signed up to testify, although Monroe is here. And I appreciate your feelings about 743.115 at all. I wonder, you don't have any problem, maybe counsel could read back what his understanding is of a form of the bill that's acceptable to all parties so that the committee can hear that, and then you might comment on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Directing your attention to House Bill 2429 as currently printed, on line 5 we would remove the brackets after the 743.115, then place brackets around the word commercial, then place brackets around the bolded letters AN, then going down to line 7, remove the brackets after the word state, it appears before the word until, then going down to lines 9, remove the bracket after the word insured. Going to line 10, remove the bracket before 2, placing brackets around commercial. Then going to line 12, removing the brackets after the word limits.
Bracket, I should say.
The effect of these amendments would be keep current language, except that you'd be removing the words commercial. Thus, it would be up to the director to approve or disapprove on any liability policies, whether you could include defense costs within the premium limitations.
That was our understanding, and that's acceptable to us.
Great. Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Kuykendall?
I guess I'm not clear what the bill does then, once we make that change. I'm not sure, other than shift it over to the director. What are we doing?
Currently, a policy for commercial lines that has defense costs within the limit of liability must be approved by the director before it can be used. By removing the word commercial, it would mean any policy, which would include a personal policy for individual automobile insurance or individual liability, would also have to be approved. But currently, there's nothing mentioned about personal lines.
Is that a question? Is this bill still acceptable to the original requesters? Mr. Williamson?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Kuykendall. Appreciate your testimony.
Madam Chair, yes, it would be acceptable as amended to the Travelers Association.
Questions? Representative Calhoun.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the bill in original form preferable?
Well, yes, but you can't always get everything you want.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify on House Bill 2429? I'd like to make just one other announcement before we move the agenda. We will conclude the public hearing on 2429. House Bill 2426 there are five people who are signed up to testify on this bill. All of you are signed up to testify against the bill. I don't see any reason to pound this into the ground, and unless there is a serious problem, either with the witnesses or with the committee, I would like to take this off of the agenda indefinitely. Hearing no objections, we will remove it from the agenda. We'll now have a public hearing on House Bill 2421. Daryl Gerritsen.
Chair, I thought you were going to continue 2421 until March 20th.
We did continue 2421 to March 20th.
That was...
I think you just missed... You said that.
I'm sorry. You're right. The second time I made a mistake today. That's... We'll open a public hearing on 2423. Jim Gardner.
Madam Chairperson, might I ask that Jerry Banks join me?
Absolutely.
I will not belabor this. We have looked at the revised version as presented by the trial lawyers, consulted with the membership of the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association, and have concluded that we must strongly and oppose the bill with the amendments in it.
Madam Chair, these are the amendments that were proposed by the... talking about here.
Is that a question?
Yeah, is this...
Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Are these the amendments that you're referring to?
Yes, there's, I have copies of the bill as it would have, I can basically read what it would say. It takes out the specific examples of latency and says a disease, it exempts from the two statutes of repose, product liability actions for damages resulting from a disease or injury, which is the result of a product causing a latent injury or disease. That's the version, the last version that the trial lawyers had proposed, and that's the version we must oppose.
I guess Mr. Bank is sort of sitting on the hot seat here. With regard to the amendments, I guess what I'd like to do is run through your objections, if we could, one more time. I realize this is somewhat redundant.
You want to hear mine?
Although, what I recall is that Mr. Bank had come to feel not quite so hostile toward the amendments when we were last here. And I really don't mean that as an exercise in putting you on the spot, but I am interested in the substance of your opposition.
Do you want me to talk about that briefly? Yeah. It is basically the same reason that's covered by my original testimony, which is that the drug manufacturing industry in particular has had a tremendous problem in terms of drugs vanishing, useful drugs vanishing from the marketplace, drugs that in the judgment of every professional continue to be safe. Bendectin is a good example, which is the only drug that has been approved for use of pregnant women with severe nausea, a drug that vanished from the marketplace when the cost of defense began to exceed not only the gross profit margin but began to approach the actual proceeds of sales. Merrill Dow, the manufacturer, was winning those lawsuits, but the defense costs were so exorbitant that they simply couldn't continue to do that. That is a problem that has resulted in the wholesale withdrawal of a number of vaccine manufacturers. It is a problem that every drug manufacturer must look at when considering whether to invest the roughly $100 million per new therapeutic drug that's required for R&D. Now, we have, we felt at the end of last session, reached a reasonable balance in terms of the tort reform package that was passed. To us,
I'm sorry, at the end of
yes, last session, not last session, last legislative session. To us, this undoes or tips the balance, you might say, in a very key way. It cannot be viewed in isolation from the entire tort reform package. If this element is passed, we would want to have you look at things like caps on attorney fees, periodic payments, a whole horde of things that are frankly beneficial to manufacturers. So we think that the balance that was struck last session should be maintained. This particular item creates a particular problem for pharmaceutical manufacturers, and it's for that reason that we must oppose it.
Would you like me to address my situation, Madam Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Bank.
When I came here on February 13th, I was prepared on behalf of the OADC to oppose the repeal of the statute of repose. And I was prepared to oppose the use, the exception for toxic substances and carcinogens. That's the only thing I was authorized to do here. I did testify that when they offered the other product causing latent injury or disease, that particular proposal seemed to fit what they were after better than the toxic substance and carcinogen situation, but I was not proposed to endorse it or oppose it at that time. So I went back to the OADC with this amendment, and then I wrote the letter to Madam Chairperson and to the other members of the committee on February 16th to state the position that the OADC wanted to state. I'd like to say one other thing in addition to what Mr. Gardner has said, and I allude to this in my letter. ORS 30.905 was a part of the first effort by this legislature to address the tort reform issue. This was done in 1977, And it only addressed the product liability problem because at that particular time, there seemed to be a product liability crisis that the legislature was trying to deal with. This was a part of the first tort reform package. It has been in existence now for 12 years. And to my knowledge, there are no statistics, no reports, or no commentaries of any kind that indicate that the people of Oregon have in any way been damaged by this particular statute. As a matter of fact, I think it was a mistake when the legislature passed 30.907 about 4 years later and exempted only asbestos injuries, because all that did was just flood our courts with asbestos cases. But since that time, there still has been no problem addressed by anyone concerning how this statute has acted on the tort system. And that is another reason why we feel that the tort system, and particularly the product system, should not be whittled away at, because it's been working well, and I don't think the plaintiff's bar has presented any statistical basis or any other basis to indicate that it hasn't been working well. Because it's been, as I say, it's been around longer than any tort reform provision that we've had in this state. People have been concerned about how well the tort reform provisions of the last session are going to work, and I think we're all watching. But we've had a chance to watch this one for a long time, and it's been doing a good job. And that's another reason why we feel we should oppose any change in that system.
Either of these two gentlemen? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for letting us be here.
Mike Williams and Charlie Williamson.
We had a memorandum. I'm sure I don't know if it's been distributed to the committee.
I'm looking for it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me respond to the points made by Mr. Gardner and Mr. Banks first. Mr. Gardner has raised essentially two concerns of the pharmaceutical manufacturers. One is that it would drive otherwise effective drugs off the market if Oregon were to change its law, and secondly, that this would undo some bargain struck in the legislature last session. I don't think either of those points are correct. First of all, the number of drug cases brought in Oregon compared to the rest of the United States is de minimis, and Oregon, as we explored last time and as our memo that we have given you this time demonstrates, has just about the most restrictive law in the country on this issue, far more restrictive than Washington, Idaho, or California, far more restrictive than the manufacturers have proposed for the national bill and that's been pending in Congress for some time. And frankly, whether Oregon changes its law or not isn't going to have any effect on what drugs manufacturers put on the market. That's just a red herring. As far as the bargain struck in the legislature at the last session, again, this fixes a problem that affects a very few people. But when it affects them substantially. This is an extremely small percentage of tort cases or injury cases that this bill would affect. But the injuries are often severe. And the manufacturers, really what happens is that people in almost every other state in the country can make a claim and people in Oregon can't. That's sort of the bottom line. That's what our memo addressed.
Questions? Mr. Williamson.
I just can give you more of the details on the memo if you want to go into it specifically. If you were to enact House Bill 2423 as amended, Oregonians would have essentially the same rights that people have under Washington law, under California law, under Idaho law, and under the products liability law that's been pushed by the manufacturers in Congress. There's only 10 states, and this is as of the 1981 Law Review article I found, that have statutes such as the 8-year limitation that Oregon has. I don't think anywhere past after that, but we're anywhere, we're still in a small minority of states that hamper our citizens from bringing this kind of lawsuit. With regard to the experimental drugs that Mr. Gardner talked about last time, our statute specifically already gives special consideration to products such as this. I've quoted restatement towards comment K that's incorporated by reference for legislative intent into our products liability law. So I can't conceive that passage of this bill would have any effect on the supply of drugs to Oregonians if it doesn't to Californians and Washingtonians. There's
thank you, Mr. Williams. Any questions? We have none.
Do we have any cases that you can tell us about where somebody has been prevented from filing a lawsuit by this statute of limitations as it reads now?
The best example I can give you of that, which has been fixed by the legislature with a specific exception, is the victims of IUDs. I represented a number of Oregon victims of the Dalcon Shield who were thrown out of court because of the 8-year statute of repose.
And we opened the window for
them. And you opened the window for them. The asbestos victims had to come to the legislature for special exception also.
We opened the window.
The problem is that you have drugs like DES, and I have had cases come to me, victims of DES, who cannot bring a lawsuit in Oregon. But if you only have one or two cases, they can't afford to come down here and lobby the legislature on each individual case. And this would create an exception for that unforeseen or rare instance where someone is injured by a drug or some other product and has a latent injury.
Madam Chair, Representative Mannix, I think that you will see cases in the Agent Orange. I understand that there was more Agent Orange dropped in southwestern Oregon in the 1970s than there was in Vietnam for defoliation purposes. And there also may be your DES and the other element I have here is phenoxy herbicides that take about 15 to 20 years to grow soft tissue carcinomas. That's the 2,4-D and 2,4-5-T. And we're not talking about people ending up suing the Forest Service. It's going to be suing the manufacturers of these products. I think there will be cases. The other thing that has happened, and I don't have specific cases, but it has happened that people, if they can possibly do it, they'll go sue in Texas or Alaska or California or Washington to avoid the Oregon law. If you've lived here and your only exposure was here, you're really out of luck. But if you can get it to another state, people do.
Thank you.
We're going to take a brief recess and come back and go into work session. Unless there's anyone else here who wants to testify on House Bill 2423, the hearing will be closed. And we're in recess. We'll be returning 5 minutes at 4:10. We're waiting on some amendments for House Bill 2429, so we will go into work session on House Bill 2423. If council could go over the amendments that have been proposed with us one more time.
I believe you have a Hamden Gross version in front of you, and I believe this copy has in the right-hand corner my name on it. I will let you know that I didn't draft them, they were just given to me. And going to section 1 of the bill on line 6, it reinstates the current language. Then going to section 2, it reinstates the current language, it reinstates the number 2 there. Then it adds on line 10, it removes the word death.
then I believe afterwards occurs adds, or in the case of death, comma, within 3 years after the occurrence of the injury causing the death. Now going to section 2 on lines 12, before the word A and after the word 30.907, it adds, notwithstanding ORS 30.905 or 12.115. Then going to the lines 13, it removes alleged to have been, those words are in brackets, and adds in its place, or injury which is, and continuing on that line, it removes the words toxic substance or carcinogen. I see some language above there, but I'm not too sure whether that is to be in its place. Product causing a latent injury or disease, is that the point? That is intended to be substituted for the word toxic substance or carcinogen.
That's my understanding, ma'am.
Okay. Going to lines 15, after the word the, add the word specific, and then after the word disease or injury. Going to lines 16 through 19, section 3 would be amended.
Deleted.
Deleted.
Thank you, counsel. Let me advise the subcommittee how the chair would like to proceed, and then, of course, this is up to the subcommittee. I would like to see the work that we did to amend the bill voted on. I'd like to move the amendments and discuss the amendments in terms of the bill, and then I would entertain a motion on the bill, and would like to have the motion be on the bill as amended. My preference goes, before I make my speech in favor of my motion, I had to make the motion. I would move the amendments that council has just read into the record. Is there any discussion on the motion? No discussion on the amendments. Would the clerk call the roll, please?
Tenenbaum?
No.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Clark?
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Mayor Bauman?
Aye. Motion fails. Chair will move House Bill 2423 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Representative Mannix.
My reaction to the situation is that we don't have a particular set of circumstances that have been presented to us which call for specific action regarding some area of product liability concerns where there seems to be a gap in coverage. I'm a great believer in statutes of repose, and the fact that other states may have differing statutes of repose does not sway me unless I'm shown that there is some particular problem that we face in the state of Oregon. I have not been swayed on that, and I prefer to support the current statute.
Other comments? Appreciate that. Clerk will call the roll.
No.
Nay.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Clark?
No.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Baum?
No.
Mayor Bauman?
Yes. Motion fails. Do we have some amendments? Mr. Taylor or other?
Yes.
We're going to shift gears and go into work session on House Bill 2429.
Madam Chair, I passed out a copy of the current bill, and what it does, I know that the Xeroxing came out a little bit light, what it basically does, you remove all the brackets from the current bill, thus reincorporating current language, then removed by placing brackets around the words commercial in line 5 and commercial in line 10. What this basically does is that the current statute says that commercial liability insurance forms, if you're going to state that the policy is going to include cost of attorney's fees and cost of defense, then you must get put it in the form the director of insurance must approve it. What this amendment would do is that it would say that for those purposes, for any liability insurance, not just limited to commercial, but for any liability insurance, to have a statement in the policy that costs, attorney's fees and costs of defense will be deducted from the policy. You must get the approval of the director of insurance before you can do that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mannix.
I move the amendment. Amendments as presented.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Any discussion on the motion? Clerk will call the roll.